Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And tonight we have a slew of entrepreneurs and self-made people from media and from HR. If you've ever thought of starting your own business, this would be a great episode to listen to. If you ever thought of being in show business, being in media, being in advertising, this is definitely an interview you don't want to miss. And then in the second half of the show, for those of you who don't want to start your own business, who want to really work as part of a corporation or work within a company, we have an HR team. It's a mix of HR consultants, executive search consultants, and peak performance consultants looking at what does it take to drive peak performance in your career, in your organization. What's the toolkit? What are different things that you can do? So everything in the show this evening is designed at getting you to the next level. Our first panel is the media panel. So we have individuals, you know, if you've ever thought of getting into the sexy business of television, radio, advertising, media, these guys have done it all. And in our media panel, our first guest is Nitin Puri, Chief Operating Officer of Bates Group and the Chief Executive Officer of BPG Cohn and Wolf and the Chief Executive Officer of BPG Possible. This is a very busy man who holds three C-suite positions in different companies. Most people struggle their whole careers just to get one. He's going to be sharing his secrets to success in just a minute. Nitin, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. Our next guest is a man who brought Virgin Radio into the Middle East. His name is Jean-Claude Tourbet. Jean-Claude, welcome back. Welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
And our third guest is a true media entrepreneur. He's the founder of Macmillan Adam, which is the largest Avid post-production facility in the entire GCC. Hamish, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Shane. It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you guys all giants among men in your field. It's quite exciting to have you all in one area. Most people really struggle to get a career going in media. Not only have you started a career in media, you have all flourished or are at the acme of your respective fields here in the Middle East. Maybe you could just tell us, how did you start in media? What attracted you to it? Did you fall into it, or was it one of those boyhood dreams where you said, listen, this is really the industry for me? So, Nitin, I guess we'll start with you.
Well, in my case, it's not a thought-out plan. The reason is actually quite simple. As I was finishing my MBA, we had a thing going in the institute, which was placement interviews. This is the first time you get a suit made. It's almost the first time you actually wear a suit to the interview. And what we had going informally in the institute was, hang up the suit. When do you hang up the suit? When do you get a job? So I actually interviewed with a media company on day one of placements, got the job, and hung up my suit that evening. So for me, it was a very simple reason of being the first in the batch to hang up my suit.
So you had an aversion to suits, but did your MBA anyway. I mean, wouldn't it be better if you want to get into this field to go straight into fine arts, or do you feel that, you know, MBAs have a big role to play in this industry as well?
Well, I think MBAs have a big role to play in any industry, as much as they do in media or finance or banking or whatever it may be. But coming back to your aversion to suits, actually that time nobody told me that this career would make me wear suits almost every day of my life until today.
So you hung it up, put it back on.
Put it right back on.
Jean-Claude, maybe you can tell us a little bit how you got into the media business, because you've gone through television, radio, right across the board, right?
Exactly, Shane. It's a bit difficult to say, but I started in show business myself. It was a dream since I was 16 years old. and I've decided what I want to do in my life. It was a career path. I started with show business all over, from France to Lebanon to Dubai, and got involved in TV production, radio production, even advertising for radio and so on. So, and all this time I was having my own company, JCT Production, all over the region. And in 2001, I was employed for the first time. I was 33 years old as general manager of Virgin Megastore. Though it is a very exciting job, but it was my first job.
So you basically created your own job in media.
Exactly.
A lot of people say it's tough to make money, though, in show business. Is that true? Or, you know, what was there money to be made as you started out early career?
Completely true. It's very tough because if you don't have the sponsors, the show is very tricky. You can have Elton John or Phil Collins on a concert. On Friday is doing extremely well. On Saturday, it's a big flop. Nobody can tell why. You have a lot of parameters to make a successful show, but also you have a 50% chance to lose a lot of money.
So, Hamish, you run the largest Avid post-production facility in the entire GCC. I think you're responsible for the production on two floors of the CNN building. It's a huge operation by Middle Eastern standards, for sure. How did you get into the show business? And maybe tell us a little bit about your evolution as an entrepreneur in the region.
It probably, excuse me, show business probably got into me rather than me getting into show business. My dad worked at MGM, the motion picture studio in North London. He was a studio doctor, so I was very closely involved as a child with a lot of people who worked in the business and their children and so on. And it just sort of grew from there. It was just an interest. University, and then I went to work in advertising in London advertising agencies, where I really learned film production properly, making, you know, TV commercials and radio commercials. And so it was always the thing that I enjoyed doing. I have ventured out of it from time to time and tried to do, you know, other stuff that my mother might have approved of, but, you know, like real jobs, but they've never worked out, you know. I have been fired from jobs that, in which I had absolutely no interest in, I had no business in applying for in the first place. And, you know, anyway, eventually you get to a point in life where you think, I have to start my own business. You know, this is ridiculous. I want to do it my way. And which I did. I had the opportunity here to do it when Media City was created in 2001. And, you know, it's been great.
So a lot of people say, you know, if you want to start your own business, don't do it because you want to make money. Do it because, you know, what you're saying, the subtext there is a value statement that this product or service should be done a certain way, that there's a certain level of quality or there's a certain je ne sais quoi that I want to have in that product or service, and I have to do it. I don't want to do anything else. Versus the other guy who says, you know, they don't have blue widgets in country X, so I'll be the blue widget guy and blah, 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 and you march on. And, you know, that could fizzle out. Versus the guy who says, this is the right way to do it. You know, fire me, kill me. I'm going to do it this way or die.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. It's got to, what you do, you've got to do well. You've got to want to do it well. And if you don't, then I change jobs, you know. I think you're in the wrong place. I've always felt, you know, very strongly like that, and I think, you know, I think my company is successful. It's financially successful, and I think it's creatively successful. But the creativity came first. The passion, I mean, to get that right came first. Come hell or high water, you know, and there's been a lot of that.
Right. Yeah. Well, your studios, I've been there, and for anyone who hasn't been to McMillan Adam, the walls are crooked. I don't even know how you got the design done, but it's very unique that every wall's on an angle, and so you can feel the creativity coming in from the Dracula that meets you as you walk into the door. So what do you guys think is happening in the media business here? You know, you have things like 2454, you seem to have a few more Arabic channels coming up. You know, is this a business that's set for huge growth as we move into Expo 2020, or is this a a sector that's plateaued, and we can expect single-digit growth as we go forward, or are we going to see a proliferation of new Arabic media for the rest of the world and the region? Nitin, maybe you can tackle that one first.
I think looking at the next few years for this region, and when we say region, I guess we mean the MENA region. I think the news for communication, for advertising, is nothing but good. The reason for that, I mean, of course, there are many reasons for that, but a very simple, let's say, reason based on figures is the per capita advertising spend in the MENA region is about 1/5 or 1/6 of what it is in the U.S. The MENA region is about 300 million people, and half of them are under the age of 30. Disposable incomes, young population, growing up, ambitious, aspirational, they have to be marketed to. So from all counts, advertising, communication, media has only one way to go, and that's up.
Do you think, you know, and what you're talking about with these statistics, from what I'm getting out of, is that, you know, that the region's making media for this region versus, you know, one of the beautiful things about Dubai is everybody wants to know what's going on here. And are we going to start to see, you know, like the U.S., for example, their shows go all over the world? Will we see, you know, media content made here in Dubai for the rest of the world, not just for the GCC? I don't know if maybe Jean-Claude, you can tackle that one. That's a bit closer to your...
Yes, for sure, because now if you see all the media and all the successful media, they want to produce their own. And what they're trying to do is trying to do something on international scale that is acceptable in all markets and not only specific to this market. Will it be successful or not? We'll see in the next 3 years to come. But please, regarding the proliferation of media and the media success in the region, just to answer your question earlier, I believe that it's not having more TV station that will make this market more successful or will have more spend. Only 20% of the existing media, they grab 80% of the budgets, of the advertising budgets. Okay. And this is a reality.
So Pareto's law is at is in effect here in the media business. Hamish, you're on the production side. You must see the growth. Obviously, your team is growing. The need for media, are the budgets growing? Is the need growing? Are you expecting a boom here?
There's been a boom. I'm delighted to say, you know, it's the internet's made a huge difference. I mean, the big picture is the internet here, and that's for my business. What I do is largely non-broadcast and is used on websites, and you know, people who want to do that. Want to put a video, let's say, which paints a beautiful picture of themselves on a website, has grown exponentially. Whereas there may have been 100 users 10 years ago, there are now 5,000.
Oh, great. So, and are people making things for YouTube or that, hey, let's make a viral video, you know, is that growing as well?
Yeah, making a viral video is really a complete illusion. You can't make a viral video. They just happen. People always ask, oh, I want my video to go viral. And there was a very prominent example of that recently, which fell very flat. Huge amount of money spent on a video for a prominent institution in Dubai, and of course it didn't go viral. This happens, you know, it happens a lot, but yeah, no, there are, you know, people want, you know, something interesting and something slightly different, and at the very least it has to be gorgeous.
So what, and Nitin, do you must get these requests as well for the viral video? Is that part of, because you're actually heading, you're the CEO of a digital company, right? BPG Possible is right. is a digital arm.
Yes, these requests do come, but not as often as you'd think, because I think people now understand that like Hamish said, you can't make a viral video. You can make a video go viral if it has the right content. But again, you know, our industry is much more focused on brands, marketing, corporate. And if you look at the viral videos that you may remember, very few of them are actually marketing a brand or a product or a corporate. Some of them could even be silly little things like, you know, a cat playing with a ball. So to that extent, making a video go viral is not really a request that we get in the corporate world or in the communication world every day. But having said that, also, the other thing is sensationalism, which is, again, not part of our industry. Those are videos that tend to go viral. Controversial stuff tends to go viral. If it borders on something that's not allowed, that tends to go viral. Those are not the businesses we're in.
So, JC, what were you going to say?
Regarding the viral, as we all agree, nobody can say or push to get a viral video or content or anything. It's very difficult because nobody can know what people in the US will think about this video or not, or any other market. But to give you an example, Virgin Radio, we have Virgin Radio Lebanon. It is the number one page in the world. And exactly, we have...
It's the number one website in the world?
It's the number one Facebook page in the world. So we have 12 million followers. We have 250 million people talking about this per week. And this went viral like a year ago.
And you're the mastermind behind this?
No, I'm not. The team in Lebanon did their job. And so what nobody expected this.
What did they do?
They've done very nice posts. Some of these posts went viral for some reason. We have 120 million followers in the U.S. alone. You have people in Australia, in Korea, and it's not talking about only radio. It's talking about everything and nothing that is happening in the world. You can check it out, and this is it. Look at Virgin Radio Dubai. We have more than 10% of the population following Virgin Radio Dubai on, will it be on Facebook or Instagram or on Twitter, which is very good for a radio station globally.
Well, this is an amazing moment in history where you can really drive your business, product, service around the world on a huge scale with much lower budget than you needed maybe even 5 or 10 years ago. If you have a question, the best part about the show is you can SMS us at 4001 or download our mobile app from our website and send us a question in. This is the media panel with Nitin Puri, the Jean-Claude Torbay, and Hamish Adam, all gentlemen who are a giant among men in their field, be sharing their insights on how to navigate this industry. And there's lessons learned on the road to the top. So stay with us.
This is Eye on Careers, keeping an eye on your career.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are looking at what does it take to be successful in the media business. We have three gurus in the studio with us right now. Our first guest, Nitin Puri, the Chief Operating Officer of Bates Group, the Chief Executive Officer of BPG Conan Wolf, and the Chief Executive Officer of BPG Possible. Nitin, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much.
I always kind of choke when I say your title because I don't know which one to say first. You have three C-suite jobs.
Just use the first one, Shane.
Do you have like an army of assistants and secretaries just keeping everything going? It's amazing.
Well, I think I have to do pretty much everything myself. I am the army too.
Right. Well, for those of you as well, the best part about the show, it's interactive, so you can SMS us at 4001 if you have any questions. And you can also catch the first part where they talked about how they got in the industry. And The next guest we have is Jean-Claude Tourbet. He's the chief representative of Virgin Radio in Europe and the Middle East. Jean-Claude, welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
And then we have the founder of Macmillan Adam, Mr. Hamish Adam, who runs the region's largest Avid production studio. Hamish, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Shane.
So what, you know, a lot of people say this is one of the most challenging industries that you can possibly be in. What has been the biggest challenge of your careers, and was, you know, what was your darkest moment? Anybody want to, not everybody at once, please, not everyone.
Okay, I'll go first.
Oh, here we go. Hamish is the man. He's up for it. Bring it on.
I mean, I've had so many dark moments. It's hard to know where to start, you know. I mean, it all works out in the end, but on route, there have been another. I mean, there's the like a week after I started Macmillan Adam, there was 9/11, and
ouch.
You know, the Middle East budgets just evaporated. You know, other crises have involved. I mean, the 2008-2009 Lehman Brothers, the credit crunch was enormous. I mean, our revenues dropped by 80%.
Ouch.
2008-2009. Ouch. You know, serious stuff. And we survived just like a lot of people, but it was tough going. And you know, you pay a personal price. You know, you don't sleep. You think, is this all worth it? Should I get a real job? Go and work in an advertising agency? And, you know, if that doesn't sound like a contradiction in terms, of course. You know, and you know, there are enormous numbers, and you never quite know what, you know, what's going to happen next. You know, and so I've kind of learned over the years. I've sort of got better at it. I think it's a human thing, it's a personal thing, you know, and I think good business and all the rest of it, it starts within me. You know. And I have to make sure I'm okay if the business is going to be okay.
There's a bit of resilience somehow that, you know, when you're in these situations, you feel that they're eternal, that it's not going to end. Yeah. And somehow you, I guess as you mature, you become wiser, you know that you're going to march through, that this too will pass.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You have to remember that the best is yet to come. And generally that's true, you know, that... in fact, that has been true, but there's always a sort of there's always a downturn, and then a great new client walks through the door, and you've got yourself, you know, a fantastic new piece of business, and that's wonderful, and that does happen. It's happened, you know, it's happened several times, so it's great. But you know, just learning about, you know, the HR. You know, I don't know how much you want to talk about HR here, but just managing people is a trial in itself. My failures are legion in that area. I'll be the first to admit it. But it's important to admit it. If I don't admit it to you and to them, the person who I'm not managing terribly well, or the situation I'm not managing terribly well, then no good will come from that. People always clam up. If I clam up, they'll clam up, and nothing will change, and therefore nothing will improve.
So market crisis, from wars to bear markets that didn't seem like they were going to end, to managing people in the Middle East, where you have people who have grown up in completely different environments. These are some of the biggest challenges. You mentioned a real job is working in an advertising agency. So we have someone here, Nitin. You're kind of one of the most senior people in this field. What's been your biggest challenge?
Shane, there have been many, of course, and I'm not sure I can pick out one and call it the greatest challenge, but here's one that that's always top of mind with me for some reason or the other, and I think it's because it involves people, and like Hamish just said, we are all about people. You know, somebody once said that in an ad agency, your assets walk out of the door at 5:30, and your balance sheet is zero. So this is actually a short story. It happened to me in Indonesia. I had gone to Jakarta and I was running Bates Indonesia. And I was new to the country, new to the people, etc., as you would imagine. And the people were lovely. It was 80-85 people in the office. Everything was going good. Till I started seeing a trend of nobody in the office would actually step up to solve a problem, any time a problem happened, whether it was a client problem, a missed deadline, a rejected campaign, they would just let it fester. And, you know, it takes time for these problems to actually reach the CEO. And by that time, it's normally too late to do anything about it. So some of these did end up becoming issues. And I was just wondering why this is going on. And what I found was quite interesting. Well, now it's interesting. At that time, it wasn't. They wouldn't, of course, say anything till one account director came up to me and said, this is your job. What do you do?
Did you lose it when he said that?
It actually took me some time to figure out what she, in this case, meant by those words. It was actually resentment. People in Indonesia resent the fact that, you know, an expat flies in, fancy salary, this, that, big houses, and bosses over them. Now, I actually didn't have a solution to this because I didn't know what to do. Of course, the usual, and to cut the long story short, spoke to people, etc., etc. And I figured what I needed to do was to become one of them and not be an outsider. And so I don't need to tell you the rest, but become one of them, start sharing the food they bring to office, start talking about their stuff. They celebrate their national day. They wear the national dress to work, wear the national dress to work with them, etc., etc. So just become more part of their life rather than an outsider who's parachuted in to look after them or to boss over them. So that was 2-3 months of not very good times in, and this was my first 3 months in Indonesia. But I can tell you, after that and after we got over that hump, it was absolutely fantastic, and we've spent four and a half years in Indonesia, which we will cherish forever.
So it was winning over, you know, they say if you have their hearts, their minds will follow.
Absolutely.
And Jean-Claude, what's been your biggest challenge?
I had two challenges, mainly big challenges in my life. The first one was a downturn, if you want. I was 24 years old. I had already my own company based in Paris and in Beirut, and I had a big financial partner who was supporting this company with big events all over, successful and financially successful events. And suddenly, he took the decision to get out of this industry. So I had to rebuild everything from scratch. I didn't know how to find a job because I was already a business owner at that time and at that age. It was so difficult in a small country that everybody knows you in the advertising field, that you have your own company, and suddenly you have to rebuild everything. So I had to rebuild it myself, and it took some time, but it was very successful. The second beautiful challenge, it was in my tenure as regional marketing director for Virgin Megastore, which was my first job in my life. And it was here in Dubai, where I wanted to have set for me myself a challenge where I don't want to spend money. So I told the owners of Virgin Megastore, and I told them, you know what, you spend a lot of money to acquire the brand, and from my side, I don't want any penny to spend on marketing. I will make it a profit center, not an expense center. And this is how I turned Virgin Megastore to become a media, where all the advertisers, they had to come and spend money inside Virgin Megastore for all their brands, all kind of brands, cars, perfumes, you name it, anything. They had to come and spend a budget there, and we made a net profit of over $2 million a year only from marketing.
Wow. So a bit of a, where did you get the idea to do that?
My own idea, because I was an entrepreneur, and I went from a simple idea, do I have the money to spend on this? It's very difficult in a retail like Virgin Megastore to spend on marketing. You don't have margins like the Zara or the Mangos and so on. where you have a huge profit margin. Virgin Megastore lives on a very tight margin. So this is why I had to be creative and come up with ideas. I even had the VIP credit card, which is a Virgin important person, and co-branded with one of the big cards issuer and a bank, where all these banks in the region, will it be in Egypt, Kuwait, everywhere we went in Qatar, and for sure here in Dubai, they had to pay us money to create our loyalty program instead of us paying on the loyalty program.
So
just
you,
to give you, an idea.
You really push yourself out of your limits there. You've never done retail before. There's a good chance you could were committing professional suicide.
Exactly.
And there's an interesting quote that says, you know, only those who go too far will know how far they can go. You know, do you really need to push yourself to the edge?
Always. If every day.
Every
no, really, every day.
Really?
Yes, sure.
Every day, but it's going to give a heart attack, no? If you
it's a big challenge, but I push myself. This is really, I'm really passionate about things I do. And if I always feel that I can always deliver the extra mile for myself and for my clients.
So, Hamish, do you think that, you know, people, you know, you need to push yourself that far out? Or for you, it almost sound like you just did what fit. You know, you tried to do the regular stuff. As you said you got fired. You said, you know, I want to run my own company, and this is just the shoe that fits you.
Yeah, I haven't pushed myself that hard. I don't think I've, I don't think I've been at risk of a heart attack. You know,
that's a good thing.
I employ a lot of people who to do all that stuff, and but you've got to make the right decisions. You know, the decisions have to be made about the allocation of money to people, to kit, to whatever. And you know, you have to make the right decisions. So there's a certain amount of stress involved in that. But in terms of physically, like spending my life on a plane, let's say shuttling backwards and forwards to Saudi Arabia or something like that, no. I mean, I absolutely not. Now, my instinct says that if it's right, it won't hurt.
Excuse me, but here a small point. Pushing yourself is not pushing yourself for something that you don't like to do. It's always pushing yourself in an environment that you feel that you are happy to do it.
What?
And flying to KSA or here or there for no reason and it will tire you, that's for sure a very negative point in your life. But when you do it with passion, it's totally different.
Well, we're just going to take a quick break here. When we get back, Nitin's going to join the discussion as to how hard should we be pushing ourselves. Should we have a heart attack on the horizon? Should we ease back into the hot tub and let success find us? We're going to hear Nitin's version and what his approach is. So stay with us. We're going to be right back.
This is Eye on Careers, keeping an eye on your career.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are looking at what it takes to make it in the media business. The best part about the show is it's interactive. You can ask our guests any question you want. Sometimes people even go right and ask for a job live on radio, but you can do that. You can even ask any question you want. And we're also interested to know what you guys think about this quote. Only those who go too far will know how far they can go. Should you, if you're trying to drive success in your career, be pushing yourself to the limit every day, like a race car driver or, you know, a high-end trader, perhaps? I don't know. Any of these people, I think people in every profession can really push yourself to the edge, to you're on the verge of failure. Or, you know, if you're really doing what you should be doing, everything should feel right. It should just be working. It should fit like the Cinderella shoe. It should just be the right fit and things should be working. And you should have some balance in your life. We're talking about this question with our panel. We want to know what's your thought? What do you think about this? SMS us at 4001. That's 4001. Or download the mobile app and interact with us directly. On our panel, we have some of the top individuals in media here with us. Who we have Nitin Puri, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Bates Group, the Chief Executive Officer of Bates Pangulf Cohn & Wolf, and the Chief Executive Officer of Bates Pangulf Possible. That's all three titles for one gentleman. It's not three different people. In fact, maybe Nitin could be the panel on his own. Nitin, welcome back to Ion Careers.
Thank you, Shane. I'm still here.
Yes. And we have our second guest, Jean-Claude Tourbet, who is the media guru and is the chief representative for Virgin Radio in Europe and the Middle East. Welcome, Jean-Claude. Back.
Thank you, Shane.
And we have an individual who is the founder of Macmillan Adam, which is the region's largest AVID post-production studio in the entire GCC. He runs two floors of post-production and production in the CNN building in Media City. His name is Hamish Adam. Welcome back to Ion Careers.
Hey, Sean.
And Shane, but that's close.
Shane, sorry.
It's close. Shane, Sean, same. But Nitin, we want to know, what do you think about all this? We have JC here is on one end who's saying, you know, I want to drive myself right to the edge. And Hamish on the other side is saying, I pay people to drive themselves to the edge. What do you think about it? You're seeming a bit relaxed the way you're sitting there, so I don't know if you... Do you push yourself to the edge?
You've got it, actually, because my take on push is somewhat less dramatic than you may have expected. You know, push, I think, at least in our business, is a part of life. Every deadline we're given is a push. Every day, the quantum of work we expect from every individual in the office is a push. Every result that is expected of every piece of communication we design is a push. And like you said just a while ago, every video is expected to go viral. That's a push. So there's push, push, push all day long. And I think it's also about, for instance, if you're an astronaut, you're going to have to push yourself every day. Otherwise, you can't be an astronaut. So similarly, you know, I'm not saying we push ourselves to the boundaries of space, but we push ourselves and we push our people and our clients push us every single day of our lives. And we get tested every single day of our lives. So push is part of life.
So you're on the extreme side. You need to push yourself.
Absolutely. Otherwise,
you
die.
How can you be better?
If you're not pushing yourself every day, you can't exist.
I don't get the astronauts, though, because they're supposed to do all this training, but whenever I see them, they're just floating. They're not doing much. They're in like a little can. You can't move. You know.
This is the problem.
Yeah, I think we need to sample that training.
So so would you work through the weekend, for example? Should you be working 7 days a week? Should you grind it?
I'm not going to say you should be working 7 days a week, but if something demands it, yes, of course you would. You should.
You commonly
could.
Do it.
Yeah,
you do it.
And in our industry, it's commonplace.
JC, yes. You've got this look in your eyes like Rambo in First Blood, like the park is mine. No. Don't you burn out, though? But Hamish, do you feel as a creative generator, do you burn out if you're...
You completely do. I mean, I told everyone to go home early today because, you know, I thought we had done it. We will take Sunday off. It's a religious holiday. For some people, we'll do that. I'm a big believer in not pushing it and pushing people. I think that, you know, people have got to be fresh and there's no point in being tired. Having said that, yesterday I worked 4 a.m. until 2 a.m. But, you know, I did virtually nothing today. So, and there's a long weekend ahead. So, you know, You know, occasionally
stop
you've got to do
your,
it.
No. Stop putting your best foot forward, you know, like tell us the truth.
That's the truth, you know.
I did.
Sometimes you've got to do it. Sometimes you've got to do, you know, a 20-hour day. It has to be done. But you don't have to do that all the time. And it will kill you if you do it all the time. And you probably won't be very good either.
Yes. And in all honesty, I think in some professions it ends up becoming fashionable. You can't be caught leaving before 8 o'clock. You're the work shirker. You're the clock watcher. You're leaving before your boss did, etc., etc.
I worked for a company. They come at 12 noon and they leave at 6. And in between, they do nothing.
Sincere. Where is that? I want to work.
One of the largest media group in the region. Believe me.
So
sounds good.
I know you guys want to talk a little bit more about the digital revolution, how it's affecting the business. I don't know, Nitin, what's your take on what this whole new digital stream is going to do? How's it going to transform the business and our lives?
First of all, Shane, yes, everyone's talking digital. However, what I've noticed is every time someone says digital, what he actually means is something different from when the next guy says digital. So somebody is talking about new media, somebody is talking about consuming new media, somebody is talking about creating new media, somebody is talking about using new media. So digital by itself, I think, is a bit of a bad word. It always needs to be qualified by what exactly do you mean and what's the context. But I would imagine today, since we're talking about media, we're talking about digital in the sense of new media. Is it growing? Are spends growing? Are new platforms coming up? Is it cannibalizing spends on traditional media and stuff like that? And on that count, I'll give you an interesting figure. In the GCC, only 40% of all registered commercial businesses have a website. And we're not saying...
Only 40%?
That's right. Wow. And we're not saying good website, bad website, functioning website, engaging website. Just have a website, right? Now, that in itself, on the one hand, if you're a website producer or if you make websites, that could be fantastic news because there's lots of people out there who are soon going to be asking for websites. But on the other hand, if you're an advertiser or a communicator, it does mean that your options are limited. On the other hand, digital communication is not communication that you put up for people to see and do nothing. Digital communication is then supposed to lead you into a digital journey. But if I don't have a website, how will I lead you into a digital journey? I will just then have to put up, because everyone's
with
told
a mobile
me,
app with a mobile app.
With a mobile app. But consumers,
they don't have websites in the Cayman Islands.
Don't
either, you know?
Download apps.
Websites aren't for everybody.
I'm not a believer of websites.
You don't have one. JC doesn't have one. This is great.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Simply, you have companies where the website is a need because it translates a lot of communication with their customers and gives something in added value to the business. If you are an e-commerce website, yes, for sure, you have to have a website. But in our case, when you are in communication, it's much better to have a social media platform for us where we communicate with our customers and we communicate internally. We have a much better understanding of what's happening day to day rather than having a website that is updated every 3 years.
Well, hold on. We got to cut for a quick break. We're going to find out, you know, what's happening here. So almost you're saying for some businesses, the website's obsolete. You should have a social media presence. Yeah. Hamish hasn't. He's sitting back taking us in. I can see that he's got some huge insight here on this that
he's going to be sending in. And so we're going to come back to this in just a minute. Again, you can SMS us any questions at 4001. Thank you.
This is Eye on Careers, keeping an eye on your career.
Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are looking at what it takes to be successful in the media business. We have Nitin Puri, who's the Chief Operating Officer of Bates Group, CEO of BPG Conan Wolf, and the CEO of BPG Possible. Welcome back, Nitin.
Thank you, Shane.
I'm just rhyming those titles off. Was struggling at the beginning of the show, but we're hitting stride here. And Jean-Claude Torbay is a media guru and the Chief Representative of Virgin Radio Europe and Middle East. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
And Hamish, we have Hamish Adam, who is the founder of Macmillan Adam, the region's largest AVID post-production facility in the GCC. Welcome back, Hamish.
Thanks, Shane.
So Nitin and Jean-Claude here are just discussing, do you need a website? Nitin is saying only 40% of registered companies have websites, and, you know, we're going to see a huge growth. Jean-Claude saying websites are obsolete. You know, you have a Facebook page. It's much better. What's your take on that, Jean-Claude?
I said a social media platform. So social media platform is where everybody, all your employees, they interact, your clients interacts with you, and you it has to be vivid, and it has to be something that is requested by everyone.
But
the websites, if you look at the websites, please check 10 of your companies, the top 10 companies that you know, and you will see that their website is, in my experience, not updated regularly. They've kept them since they started the website, their company, till today. After 2 years, every 2 years they do a refresh of design, but they don't refresh the content properly.
Okay, this so is you're my saying opinion. So you're saying it's played out, like, you know, most of your clients aren't going to go on the web, find you, and that's how you're going to sign your clients. And Nitin, you said you'd be surprised.
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, forget companies, and I'm going to ask you this. Meet somebody, I think almost always these days, before you actually go to the meeting, you Google the person. So all your information you're getting off the net.
Perfect.
So if you're going to a company, you're going to check the company's website. Having said that, I don't want to, you know, get into details of should it be a website, should it be a Facebook page, should it be a LinkedIn profile. You know, these are different forms of existing on the web to disseminate information. But I think there's a key difference. And the key difference is that all social media platforms are real-time online engagement and conversation. I'm not sure every brand wants to do that or needs to do that. To be alive on social media, you've got to be there 24/7, 365 days. Does an oil and gas company need to do that? I don't know. So I think it's to each his own, but the fact is that you need to have a presence on the web which people can access and get updated information about you from.
Hamish, how many of your clients come in through your website?
Most come from the website. I'll give away the company's big secret here, which is that virtually all our new business comes from the website.
Really?
I'm always astonished by that. And it's progressively the case. They go to the website. They Google a term like corporate video production or something. And we will come up at some point, and they will then click through to our website, and from there they'll contact us, and we have a way of evaluating that and recording that, and we know it to be the case. 90% comes through the website.
Whoa, 90%!
Yeah.
I thought it would be like, you know, word of mouth. Hey, you have these huge corporate clients. Who made your video? Goes to Hamish, he's the man, his studio's the biggest.
That's about 10%. I mean, I wish that was the case. You know, Hamish, great guy, go see Hamish. It's actually not the case, you know. It's
a much more fair. Should be.
It's a much more, I mean, I think the medium is the message. People trust the medium and people trust the internet. And and they trust what they discover on websites.
But Jean-Claude, you're the opposite. You're saying social media platform much better, or at least you have to be more holistic in your approach. You just can't throw up a website.
It's very important to update your website. So Hamish, how often you update your website?
Every day.
Whoa!
This
every
is a big
day?
Difference.
We have somebody dedicated. We have somebody.
When you're talking about an advertising agency, or you're talking about Hamish here, they have to update their websites very often. But you have a lot of corporate websites; they are almost dormant. They don't do anything about them. You have sometimes spelling mistakes on it. You have some for big corporations. I'm not talking about small companies.
Okay.
If you see at Virgin Radio, for instance, it's updated at least every day 10 times. You can see every single program they change something on the website. So this is a very vibrant website.
So this
I'm not talking about these top 10% of websites that are updated regularly. I'm just talking about 90% of the websites where nobody is doing anything.
So we should expect a huge boom in the industry then, because design, branding becomes the forefront. Whereas before, it was word of mouth. You didn't even come to my office. I did work for Natin. You're friends with him. He refers me, business done. Now it's a different ballgame. So you guys are all on the precipice of a huge boom. What's your advice for anybody who wants to get into this industry? What would be your piece of advice? And I think one trend I see between all three of you is a focus that, you know, you didn't flip industries. You've really been in media your whole lives, minus a few little things here and there, maybe for Hamish, but mostly 100% in this industry. So that maybe that might be one, is stay focused. But what would be your advice? Etienne, you look like you're ready to go.
Okay, I'll start with, you know, I get this question very often with students leaving school, enamored by, so to speak, the glamour of the media or the advertising or the communications industry. And the question is, so what course should I pursue? What subject should I pursue? And that's a fairly difficult question to answer. And I am actually mostly tempted to say psychology. Because really, our business is all about people. People handling is the number one skill. Getting along with people, inspiring confidence, being friendly, building relationships. Problems will happen, like we just said. We get overwhelmed every day. What's going to get you out of an overwhelming situation? It's your relationships. It's the ability and the inclination to put up your hand and say, sorry, couldn't get this done. We'll do it next time. Or we'll do it tomorrow.
Right. JC, what would you say is your final piece of advice for anyone out there?
Always be humble in tough times and in glorious days. Always be humble. Be equal to yourself and respect your image and the others. This is the most important thing. This is a way of life, if you want. But I remember Sir Richard Branson having an interview at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the interviewer asked him, what is your biggest fear, Sir Richard? And he replied, my biggest fear is to hurt someone without knowing that I'm hurting him.
Hmm. Hamish, what would your last piece of advice be?
I'd say get into it for the right reasons. Don't get into it for the perceived glamour, because that's an illusion. Don't go and work in advertising if you really want to work in show business, because advertising is not show business. Mm. Don't go and work in corporate video if you want to work in advertising, because corporate video is not advertising, etc., etc. In other words, research your career path.
Be in it for the right reasons.
Mm. Not for the money.
Be humble.
The money's lousy, by the way. It's truly awful. You know, if you want to make money, go and work in a bank.
Okay, so go into it for the right reasons. Be humble, be mindful of other people, and really look at the psychology of people, build your relationships.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you so much that we raced through that hour. Hopefully we can have you all on again sometime soon. So Nitin, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you, Shane. It's been a pleasure.
That's Nitin Puri, the Chief Operating Officer, Bates Group, and the Chief Executive Officer of BPG Cohn & Wolf, and the CEO of BPG Possible. JC, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Shane.
And it's Jean-Claude Torbay, media guru and representative of Virgin Radio in Europe and Middle East. And Hamish, thanks so much again for coming.
That's a complete pleasure, Shane.
And that is Hamish Adam, the founder of Macmillan Adam, the largest AVID post-production studio in the entire GCC. He runs production on two floors in the CNN building in Media City. That's our media panel. Coming up, we're looking at what it takes to drive peak performance in your life, in your career, in your organization. We have an HR panel of some of the top HR professionals here in the region. We have Mara Roy, the founder of the Alpha Game. We have Julian Frankham, the Chief Executive Officer of for the MIA for RP International. And we have Clive Harrison, Managing Partner for Harrison Rudder and Associates, coming on. They're going to be talking about what you can do both as an employee and as a leader to drive peak performance. So stay with us.